They say this is the most wonderful time of the year. Why? Because God sent His only begotten Son into the world. He came as a babe in the manger, but ended His life dying on the cross so that your sins and my sins can be forgiven. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I invite you to repent of your sins and cry out to God for salvation through Jesus Christ.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
So we have been exploring the real reason for the conflict in the Middle East and asking, is this a sign that we're in the end times? And we did actually show from the Bible, from Matthew 24, going through that passage where Jesus talks about wars and rumors of wars. And you probably have seen or heard pastors preaching on that. Your pastor may have preached on that. If you're a pastor, you may have preached on that. One of the keys to that verse or that passage is Jesus saying that this generation shall not pass away until these things come to pass. And those things did come to pass in that generation, including not one stone being left upon another, that temple being destroyed, the Roman army going into the Holy of Holies and worshiping with their signet in the Holy of Holies, the Christians following the word of Jesus when they saw the abomination of desolation standing in the Holy of Holies, heeded the words of Jesus and fled Jerusalem. But the Jews stayed in Jerusalem and were slaughtered for it. And then we also have, for the last 2 weeks, been going over really the real reason for the conflict in the Middle East. And it all stems from Abraham, whose name was at that time Abram, and his wife Sarah, whose name at that point was Sarai, trying to fulfill the word of the Lord and the promise of God in the flesh. They were trying to accomplish what God's purpose was, apart from trusting God to do what He had said He would do. And in Genesis chapter 15, we see that God met with Abram, and God told him that he was blessed. And Abram said, God, if your favor is upon me, then why is a descendant, someone that was born in my house that's not my child, my heir? And God says, no, he shall not be your heir, but one born of your body, one who comes from you, one your offspring will actually be your heir. God takes him out and shows him the stars of the heaven and says that his children will be as numerous as the stars of heaven. And then God actually makes a covenant with Abram, and God causes a deep sleep to fall on Abram, shows him that his descendants would be slaves in Egypt, but that God will actually deliver them from that slavery. And then in verse 16, Sarai probably had heard about this encounter and says, hey, you know, I'm too old to have a child. You know, she was past menopause, and she knew that she couldn't have a child, and or at least thought that. Certainly it was not biologically possible for her to have a child anymore, and so she brought her maid, an Egyptian maid, Hagar, to Abram in an attempt to work out and to accomplish God's purpose through the flesh. And this is really the start. What we see is the biggest consequence that we will ever see for any decision, save the first decision, that first major consequence that happened when Adam and Eve sinned and took of the fruit that God said, you shall not eat of. And so Abram goes into Sarai, or to Hagar. Hagar conceives, and then Hagar despises Sarah, because all this time people have probably been wondering, well, is it Abram or is it Sarai? And because Hagar conceived, it was clear that it was Sarai, that was the reason that there was no child in that marriage. So Sarai wanted to kick Hagar out, and she did. Abram allowed her to do that. She kicked her out. And what actually happens is that she goes out, and she's crying out to God. And what happens is the angel of the Lord. Now, God has many angels, but whenever you see the angel in the Bible, and the A is capitalized, that is Jesus Christ pre-incarnate. So the angel of the Lord actually appeared to Hagar and told her that he had heard her cry. And this is significant that he hears her cry. Later we'll see that he also hears Abram or Abraham, and then later he hears Ishmael, the child. And the angel of the Lord told Hagar to go back and to be submitted to Sarai. And he also says, then the angel, in verse 10 of chapter 16, then the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so that they shall not be counted for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of his brethren. So here we see that Ishmael, God's blessing would be upon Ishmael, that he would be a mighty nation, that a multitude would come forth from him. But we also see that he would be a wild man, and that his hand would be against every man, and every man's hand against him, that he would live in the midst of his brethren, but would constantly be at conflict. And really what you see, the descendants of Ishmael are those who make up the Muslim countries. And Hamas is of the descendants of Ishmael. They are wild, they are against every man, even their own people, and they are every man is against them as well. And yet they dwell among their brethren, the Israelites. And the angel of the Lord tells Hagar to go back and submit herself to Sarai, and she does. So Abram was 88 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. And then in chapter 17, we see that God renews his covenant, or makes another more extensive covenant with Abram. He actually changes his name from Abram to Abraham. In verse 5, it says, no longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations from you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. And then God gives him a sign of the covenant, which is circumcision. And as we mentioned last week, I mean, this was this was really critical. You know, as we mentioned last week, they were circumcised. And God says, you know, in the future, everyone who's 8 days old shall be circumcised. Obviously, he's making this covenant with Abram when Abram is old. And Abram was actually, you know, fairly, I think he was 99 years old at this point. So, you know, he's making this covenant. Obviously, Abram wasn't circumcised then. But just think about this. Not only was there no doctor to go to perform this circumcision, and there was no scalpels, there was no anesthesia, as we mentioned last week. This also had never been done. No one had ever been circumcised. And so this was a brand new experience, and Ishmael was 13 years old when this happened. And every male in Abraham's household was circumcised as well. Again, without any practice, and really you couldn't even go to a doctor who had maybe performed surgery on someone else, cut something else off, or cut into skin. There was really no pre-training. So this really took a lot of trust and a lot of, especially to cut around where they were cutting. This is pretty amazing that they had, and really they went through a lot of pain and really they had to believe. Abraham had to believe the covenant. He had to believe God and what God was promising. So this was pretty amazing. You see later in this chapter that God actually changes Sarai's name, and let's pick it up in verse 15. Then God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name, and I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her." Then Abram fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" And Abram said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." So here you see that Abram thinks that this is ludicrous and preposterous, that God is saying that Sarai shall have a child. And Abraham is even laughing at the thought and is praying that God would just fulfill his promise through Ishmael. But then God says, "No, Sarah, your wife, shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at the set time next year." And really what you see here is you see God's promise and the covenant is actually, and the blessing and the promise, certainly there was a blessing to Ishmael and his descendants, but the promise was actually through Isaac. And the Jews come through Isaac, the Muslims come through Ishmael. And you see that God's blessing would be upon Ishmael, but God's promise was to Isaac. So Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all who were born in his household, and were bought with money, every male in Abraham's household. He circumcised their foreskin that very day. And so Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised. Ishmael was 13 years old. And you see this amazing faith and trusting in God to the point that they actually allowed, and they even did. I mean, you wonder who cut the foreskin off of Abraham. You know, maybe he did that himself. But there was a lot of trust and a lot of faith that was placed in God and what God had said. And then we're going to pick it up in Genesis chapter 18, beginning of verse 1. Then the Lord appeared to him by a terebinth tree of Mamre as he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, "My Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Please let me let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourself under the tree. And I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass by, inasmuch as you have come to your servant." Then they said, "Do as you have said." So Abram hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, "Quickly, make ready three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes." And Abram ran to the herd and took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man. He hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Then they said to him, "Where is Sarah?" And by the way, I just want to stop here real quickly and just you know, compare this to our modern day. You know, in our modern day, Abraham might have taken them out to eat to a restaurant, or maybe there was leftovers or something already prepared and that he could heat up for them, or maybe he could make them cold, have Sarah make them cold cut sandwiches from meat that was already in the refrigerator, or maybe they could even quickly prepare a meal, and they would have already had bread made because we go out and we buy bread. It's something that most people eat and have readily available. Maybe they would have actually pulled meat out of their refrigerator and cooked it for them. And still, you know, that would have taken some time to do. But in this case, they actually didn't have any bread. They were making the bread right then. They didn't even have milk. You know, not only did they didn't have a refrigerator to have meat in. They had to go to the herd and actually get a calf and kill the calf and fillet, or you know, make various cuts of meat and actually prepare these. So this was quite a process that happened here. And then they said to him, verse 9, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" So he said, "Here in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said to Abraham, Why did Sarah laugh? Saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied it, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. But he said, "No, but you did laugh." So again, God is promising Sarah is going to have a child, and about this time, I'm going to come according to the manner of life, which would be about 9 months, and she will have a child. And Sarah laughed and said, hey, is this really going to happen? Am I going to be able to have a child? Is Abraham going to be able to have a child? And she tried to hide it. Now, it's interesting, both Abraham and Sarah laughed at the thought of Sarah having a child at this age. And they both thought it was impossible, yet God here says that it is not impossible. And so what happens here is you actually see that they're showing with God all things are possible. And later in the Bible, in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, we see that Sarah commended for believing God and trusting him at his promises. And we know that Abraham also trusted God. So at some point, their laughter at the thought of having a child gave way to believing that God was able to accomplish what he had said he would accomplish. And then in chapter 21, we begin in verse 1, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah had born to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old. We talked last week how 8 days is the time where the clotting is the highest, and it's really the best day for circumcision to happen. So God knew what he was doing when he created human beings, and he knew what he was doing when he instituted this covenant with the sign of the covenant of circumcision. So we see that Isaac was circumcised when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Verse 5, now Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born, and Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? So you can imagine a 90-year-old woman having a baby and nursing this baby. And, you know, they did live at this point. And, you know, there was a time in the Bible where people lived hundreds of years. This was not one of those times. This certainly people did live longer than they do now. But still, it was not to, you know, God at the flood limited mankind's lifespan, man's lifespan to 120 years. You, at this point in history, you are seeing people living slightly longer than that, but, you know, their lifespan was coming down, and certainly at 90, she had passed the age of childbearing. So she is saying, you know, that she would laugh and that all who hear will laugh with her. Then she said also, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. So the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw that the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing. Now that's Ishmael scoffing. And verse 10, therefore she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman for her son and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely Isaac. And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. But God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of the bondwoman. Whatever Sarah says to you, listen to her voice. For in Isaac your seed shall be called. Yet I will also make a great a nation of the son of the bondwoman, because he is your seed. So we see here God reiterating that his promise is coming through Isaac, not through Ishmael. And yet God's blessing would still be upon Ishmael because he is of the seed of Abraham, and God had established a covenant with Abraham. So in verse 14, so Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water, and putting it on her shoulder, he gave it to the boy, to Hagar, and sent her away. Then she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water in the skin was dried up, and she placed the boy under a tree. Then she went and sat down across from him at a distance of about a bow shot, for she said to herself, "Let me not see the death of the boy." So she sat opposite him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. Then the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, "What ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation." And then God opened her eyes. She saw that there was a well of water, and she was able to give him drink. And he dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And so here you see, earlier we saw that God heard Hagar's voice, and then God heard Abraham's voice, and now we hear that God hears Ishmael's voice. But still, remember that Ishmael would be a wild man, that his hand would be against his every man, and every man's hand against him, and that is the father of the Muslim nations, including Hamas, and this is the real reason that there is conflict in the Middle East. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
They say this is the most wonderful time of the year. Why? Because God sent his only begotten Son into the world. He came as a babe in a manger, but ended his life dying on the cross so that your sins and my sins can be forgiven. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I invite you to repent of your sins and cry out to God for salvation through Jesus Christ.
Unto us a son is given, unto us a son is given,
and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father,